Okay, there we go. So I really, I'm fascinated. I'm not sure what's made it out of my feed because I kind of share ahead of time. MuleSoft is also working on their own kind of ontology sort of language that's independent of RAML and other things. So that's going on as well. So, you know, when a company that does as much with APIs, you know, as they do, starts working on that kind of puzzle, solving that kind of puzzle, that's also another sort of indicator, I think, that in general, things are headed in that kind of direction. So I'm encouraged by that as well. So we'll see what happens. And was it just this past week, somebody was doing a thing with async and REST, right? They were kind of like, yeah. So I like to see that as well. So we'll see. We'll see what goes on.
I think the async thing, it's under MuleSoft umbrella, because if you look at their illustration, there is always MuleSoft logo. So I think that's kind of part of the activity you were mentioning.
Yeah, that may be right. And then you've got companies like Optic and Akita. They're kind of like trying to analyze real time to get semantics, to sort of understand the semantics of APIs in real time. So I think you sort of have both ends going on, right? You have people working on some design side or some visualization side or some abstraction side early in the modeling. Then you've got other people working on, you know, post-install understanding of semantics. That's kind of, I think Z's a little bit like that, right? Z kind of crosses the barrier between trying to model it and also trying to understand it in real time. So to me, those are both just sort of maturity levels, things that we sort of, it's time to get around to. So I'm pleased by that. And I'm also very pleased, at least so far, that most of the solutions seem really pragmatic. They don't seem really dogmatic. They're like, well, how do we understand this? Well, does this make sense? And I like that a lot too. That's exciting too, for me. Let's see what's going on here. I'm getting some email. I want to see if it's... Steven says he might be able to show up around the top of the hour. He's got something else that goes until our 10 o'clock here, our 10 a.m. here. We'll see how that goes. Okay. Well, don't see any more. We'll wait another minute or two, and then we'll just kind of kick it off here. Let's see. I'm gonna do this. And this. All right, might as well go ahead for posterity. We'll move ahead and we'll see if somebody else shows up. I don't really have too much to report on the spec from the last time we got together, except that, you know, there are just a couple of minor changes. Content type is now part of the process, right? So that was new. So that means that we can start to march towards deprecating format, right? We're going to start probably, hopefully we'll start seeing more content type used, and then we can get rid of format. At least we'll kind of deprecate it. And then the addition of tag. So that's sort of internal tool processing or something like that. There was some language change. I was using a word in English, dereferenceable, which apparently is not a not a word, or some people don't think it's a word. So there's some English, some changes in the language, but that's about it. The rest has just been the effect of content type, the doc C data that we talked about before, and tag. So there's really not too much there. In terms of draft 7 and the next draft, I'm not too anxious to jump ahead at any new thing. At least in the specification, I'm kind of in the mood of thinking it should kind of rest a bit. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't think there's anything major that needs to change. Back. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. I have to finish my work on the next presentation because I plan to use more heavily Alps. So I will wait for it because I guess I will have some feedback then.
Yeah. No. I think it's fine. We've been pushing ahead for the last couple of months to fill in holes, gaps, clarify things. I think we've done that. I think it's okay to let it rest a bit and let tools catch up, let some usage catch up. I think the first part of the docs, which is about sort of the motivation and the examples, that needs to be updated to catch up with real time. A lot of those examples are years old and they don't reflect all of the features. There's still some stuff in XML. I don't know if anybody really cares much anymore. So I think that's probably an effort that can be done, but I'm gonna just kind of rest for a few weeks. I need to focus on the United, a unified app too. That's also not up to spec on content type and a few other things. So I need to speed up on that. So that's me at this point anyway, for the spec.
Can I ask what's your next plan with Alps Unified? I know you can generate protobuf, you can generate async API, open API, VSDL. Do you have in mind what will be the next step?
There are two things actually that Unified needs. So the async API is actually not complete. So I can't really generate a complete async API. So I need to work on that. I need to just catch up the use of tags because that wasn't standardized and I was just kind of hacking around to be able to do a few things. I've gotten feedback on protobuf and on OpenAPI that what's generated right now is really not within the style guidelines. It's actually pretty poor OpenAPI generation. So there have been a few people that have talked about kind of improving the style, naming and a few other things. That would take a little effort. I'm hoping to see if we can find someone who might want to own like a particular interpretation, like I'll own the protobuf, she'll own the OpenAPI, that kind of thing. And to do that, to make that easy, I think there's some internal structural change that needs to happen. Right now, I think if you look at the code, you know, I just wrote this sort of string manipulator code. It's really not well-structured code. It's just kind of hacked up. What I'd like to do is... go ahead.
I see one index.js document, 500 lines long.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So it really needs to be cleaned up. I'd like to modularize it and then... I'd like to be able to make an output like OpenAPI or something, a plugin. So people could just write plugins or they'll write, parsers or something. So you wouldn't even have to mess with the main code. And then finally, the thing that Martin Mueller pointed out when he was doing his stuff with the CDK, the AWS tool, is this is just a command line app that is really near impossible to use as a module. You have to do a lot of hacks. So it really needs to be written as a real module and then a CLI wrapped around it. So I think most of the effort that I'd like to focus on in United over the next month or two is really just improving the quality of the code base, making it a real module, getting it into NPM, writing a decent CLI around it, and then start to create plugins for it. And then I think that'll give people a lot more freedom. That's my plan anyway. I don't know if you've got ideas about what you'd like to see or what it should be.
I was just asking because it's a lot of work. That's true.
Now, the thing that Unified does is it concentrates on the service side, right? The definition side. So converting ALPs into server definitions. I still, and I don't know that this is going to happen in the next few months, I still want to see people using ALPs on the client side too, sort of the way Z is doing his tools. So you sort of interpret at runtime and then make sure the client can sort of understand what's about to come. But I don't have any clear ideas on that. Originally, I thought there was going to be some binding to HTML and binding to JSON-LD and stuff like that. But there hasn't been any work on that yet. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But at least for the near term with Unified, I want to focus on improving the quality of the code base so that it's easier to work with. And then maybe it might attract a crowd so that people can write plugins. So that's the plan for me. So I was hoping Akihito would be here. He sometimes misses by an hour, so he's maybe not going to be here. Do you want to talk about where you are with, we started this with Eiger, what used to be just alps.sh?
It's just updated on the latest draft. Some bugs were fixed, but there is no new feature. So you can download a new version. It has less bugs and it's aligned with draft 6, but that's all.
Cool.
Nothing else has been added so far. I'm just, that's also a reason why I ask, because I see that there are at least 3, maybe 4 separate projects. So I also thinking how to somehow find a synergy in that.
Yeah. So you're saying 3, maybe 4 projects for Eiger?
I mean 4 projects around ALPS built. Around
ALPS. Yep. And Steven has his ALPS Writer project, which I think is really interesting. I've been working with that a little bit, just testing it out as he comes up with new versions, does a sprint. And I like the idea behind it. It's just you sort of like at the command line, you can start writing things, and so it's an interesting tool. It's based on writing basically markdown documents and folders, which I find kind of fascinating, just the idea behind it. And then we've got Akihito's diagramming tool. What I'm working on now is actually piping something out of Steven's tool into Akihito's tool. So I use the ALPS writer, and then I take the output and then pipe it to the diagrammer. And there's still some spots that don't quite match up yet. So that's been kind of fun too. Basically what I do is I spend my weekends playing around in the ALP space. And that's kind of what I'm up to at this point. Let me just making a few notes here. So do you have anything ahead for Eiger, or are you just kind of going to let that one kind of simmer as well?
Right now, I'm more focusing on the promotion part, because there are tools, they have just little use. So let's show others what they can do.
Yeah.
And I would like to move forward. I'm quite hesitating about writing a client, because the guys around Z, they are doing it. So I don't want to look like I'm copycat, because it's not true, but explain it to others, So
a lot of times
I will probably more focus.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that I will probably more focus on API catalog, because there is the other thing that today you have tons of APIs and you have to somehow manage them, and there are no tools supporting even something such a simple like dependencies.
Yeah.
I have seen companies, it's quite interesting. I have seen companies using Excel sheets
yes.
to write down the list of microservices they have. So,
yes.
Yes. And that is great to use for Alps. I already mentioned it to describe those APIs and by using some high level description. Not, I don't like to get and post the descriptions.
Yeah.
And hopefully to let them understand what they have. And there is also the idea about capabilities. I read a lot of articles about something what's called business capabilities, but it's quite not disconnected from what we are doing. So I'm looking for a way how to connect these guys from business space to our space through some shared vocabulary. So I think we all see that we work with some kind of capabilities. So let's categorize them, let's describe them with Alps, and hopefully let's discover them with Discord or some next generation Discord or something like
that. Yeah. We'll see. Yep. Now that you mentioned Disco, that's a thing that's still, I haven't had a chance to work on that since the start of the year, but it's still something that I kind of wanted to focus on in 2021. So because of the same kinds of things you've talked about, I'd really love to see, a registry or a catalog of running services and help with the idea of managing dependency or breaking dependency. So so there's definitely possibilities there, but that's right now it's just kind of hard for me to focus on it. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
And how it's called, Alps writer. I checked the code and there are questions and answers. So I guess I didn't run it, but I guess it works somehow like a very simple chatbot, right? So you just answer questions and it does something.
Yeah. You're talking about Steven's project, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of evolved. Right now it's actually just a command line. It's not actually a stateful bot unless he's made some changes. So it's kind of evolved into a right at the command line and I'll do a bunch of magical stuff behind you. Which I find kind of an interesting way to think about it. And you just literally run this. It's similar to yours in the sense that you sort of run a tool that trundles over a bunch of material to produce the Alps document. But with him, it's going over folders and files rather than a single document, which I find just really kind of unique. You got the idea from somewhere else, I guess. Yeah.
I'm mentioning it because it's an idea haunting me for years because I still feel that the UI, it could be somehow combined with chatbot capabilities. I mean that the process of adopting API could be interactive in the sense that you say, I want to adopt an API and the chatbot will say, hey, give me something. And you put URL in it and it will say, okay, I see it's this and this. Can you confirm? It's
I like long, it. It's like it's like the but, it's like the API Clippy, right? It says, oh, it looks like you're trying to write a shopping cart. Would you like an API for that?
Yeah.
I like the idea of a chatbot interface. Like that. Yeah. I really do conversational rather than super
conversational experience.
Yeah.
But I also realized after a lot of experiments during the last years that the interactive interface must be very tightly combined with graphic, because if user just get a command line and text output, it's not enough because all the things inside are too complex to be enough expressive
Yeah.
For the robot to say you what you should look on or what you so I realized that the user will control it through command line, but the chatbot will return sometimes interactive documents or pictures yeah. you can click on just to clarify something, just to add more information. But it's a huge task. So
it is a huge task. Yeah. You really almost need a sort of a pre-built platform so that you could focus on the subject matter and not have to build the whole platform, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And you need catalog, you need something like Alps, you need something like Disco and other technologies to put it together.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah, the chatbot is really kind of like the glue, right? It's the interface for all of those other things.
I would say it's just the interface. Yeah. Everything rest must lay on something like Alps and some reasoning.
Yeah.
The chatbot can be done easily today. There are a lot of tools, great tools. I evaluated most of them, and it's not hard to create chatbot today. Mm. It is hard to provide meaningful answers combined with graphics and to put some reasoning behind it, because today's chatbot that they focus on one intent. So what do you like to do? Switch on lights, switch on TV, play this and play this. But there is rarely a context.
Yeah.
And after a few experiments, I had a client connected to Slack, because Slack is very popular, you know, it's cool to have it. But then you realize that if you are speaking about API, that there are several contexts, topic contexts, you have to touch. And after some time, if you go deep into discussion with the chatbot, it's really hard to realize where you are in the process.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and it's context switching too, right?
Yeah, context switching. But it can be done. The machine learning guys, they can do it. But I'm going too much forward. Sorry.
It's good to do that though, right? Because it's sort of like, well, eventually, or if it could be possible, what I need now, like, what do we need to do in Alps or Disco or some other tool or OpenAPI in order to make that more likely at some future point too, right? Because it affects all of us. So I like that kind of thinking a lot.
Just to give you context, I'm quite lazy person, so I pictured laying me on a bed and saying, computer, hey, today we will adopt a new API. And just monitor showing me what I can do next.
Yep, I like it. That's totally right. That's beautiful. Just sitting around, having a good time, drinking a coffee, drinking a beer, whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
We'll just adopt a new API today. Thank you very much. And then at some point you just say, go do the rest.
Exactly. I don't care how it's done. I just want this, and if it's work, I'm fine with it. Do it as you can. But yeah, I quickly realized you need to combine voice and visual, because the voice is not enough. It's good for simple tasks. I don't know if you have Alexa or Google Home or.
I don't have any of them turned on. I use my phone, my Android phone.
Okay. You can do it with phone, and it's just without visual, you just end up with simple commands. Nothing else.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. And you're really spot on about the context, right? Almost all the successful things today have no context, right? They're self-contained. Yeah. Turn this on, turn this off, tell me when the alarm goes off, that kind of thing, which is fine. But when you get beyond simple context, the challenge is exponentially harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a great line from Steve Wozniak that I've used in talks before, talking about autonomy and autonomous agents and all these other things. And he says, here's an autonomous agent, put a robot outside the house and say, go in the house and make me some coffee.
I think I heard this one. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you realize, wow, there are a lot of things that I have to solve.
Yeah.
Suddenly got out of focus here. Yeah. Suddenly there's a whole bunch of things that you have to solve now, and you kind of get a better idea of the idea of context and all that other stuff. So I like that. I like that a lot. Well, I'll tell you what, Guy, I'm going to wait a few more minutes unless you have something else you want to.
No, I just wanted to say hi to you and Kuriyama and others, because I missed last week. Sorry for that. I had something urgent, so I didn't have time to write to email saying sorry.
No worries. I hope everything's okay.
We are fine. We are locked and we live close park, so we don't need much.
Okay. Well, I'll just hang around for a few more minutes, and then I've got a talk today for the Postman Galaxy talk. I'm doing a talk on simple testing, so I need to do a little rehearsal before my talk a little bit later today. So I'm probably just going to cut this a little short. It's good to see you.
Do you know, do they record your talk?
Yes, they definitely record all the talks, and you can go back and listen to them. I think it's a free event, so you could sign up, I think, still now. And then that gives you access to all of the talks. And one of the things I know, Ken Lane did an interview with Steve Wozniak as part of the event. I haven't seen Ken's Steve interview yet. So it's a great lineup. I think the Postman people have done a fantastic job, and what I've seen so far is really good. So I would definitely encourage you to sign up.
I sign up for another week. I will go for Solid World. So, thank you, but I will watch it, because that's one thing. The Postman guys were really good all the time, promotion and marketing. Yep. It's perfect.
Yep. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think Koriyama has said this as well. This is a good time to focus on promoting Alps and, you know, writing some blog posts and doing some things. So we can focus on that for a little bit, and I'll try to be a little bit more assertive as well. You know, I did that one talk last year. It's time to update that talk with more information. I was thinking of actually doing something that just kind of features some of the tools around Alps. So we got a couple of possibilities. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I will write my part, share it with you, and let's speak next week.
Yep. All right. Let's give it we'll call it for this week. You hang in there, be safe, and maybe I'll see you next week.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.